Kevin, thinking about retirement?
I've thought about it, but it's too late for me to save.
With Avo, a retirement coach, it's never too late.
Where can I learn more?
Visit aceyourretirement.org today.
A message from AARP and the Ad Council.
Tom has been a teacher for over 40 years. One day, I think one of the students had asked the question and he didn't remember the answer. And I also noticed that he was letting his class out earlier than they were supposed to let out. I was really starting to worry.
Levi and I talked about how it would change our lives, but he was there beside me.
When something feels different, it could be Alzheimer's. Now is the time to talk. Visit alz.org/ourstories to learn more. A message from the Alzheimer's Association and the Ad Council.
If you came across someone struggling with hunger, how would you recognize them? Would you notice an 8-year-old girl who's not excited for summer break
because she may not be having lunch again until September?
Or a war veteran who's having a hard time
landing a job and getting back on his feet?
I am the 1 in 8 Americans who struggle with hunger. I am hunger in America.
Hunger can be hard to recognize. Learn why at IamHungerInAmerica.org. Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
Hi, it's Jamie, Progressive's Employee of the Month, 2 months in a row. Leave a message at the... Hi, Jamie. It's me, Jamie. I just had a new idea for our song about the Name Your Price tool. So when it's like, tell us what you want to pay, hey, 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 and the trombone goes, blah, 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 and you say, we'll help you find coverage options to fit your budget. Then we just all do finger snaps while a choir goes, savings coming at ya, savings coming at ya. Yes? No? Maybe? Anyway, see you at practice tonight. I got new lyrics for the rap break.
Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
There are everyday actions to help prevent the spread of respiratory diseases. Wash your hands. Avoid close contact with people who are sick. Avoid touching your eyes, nose, and mouth. Stay home when you are sick. Cover your cough or sneeze. Clean and disinfect frequently touched objects with household cleaning spray. For more information, visit cdc.gov/COVID-19. This message brought to you by the National Association of Broadcasters and this station.
This segment is brought to you by the Backyard Barbecue Store.
Broadcasting live from the Hyundai Studios, this is Chicago's number one and most listened to sports station. Sports Radio 670 The Score, our radio.com sports station, WSCR and HD Chicago, WBMX HD2 Chicago. The Score!
This hour is brought to you by Aloha Restoration, restoring your home to pre-disaster condition.
The Dan Bernstein Show, weekdays 9 a.m. to noon on Sports Radio 670 The Score.
With the second pick in the 2017 NFL Draft, the Chicago Bears select Mitchell Trubisky, quarterback, North Carolina.
Hello. Mitchell Trubisky is going to Chicago, and he will mentor with Mike Glennon, and the young man with just 13 career starts at North Carolina is trading in the NC for the C on the side of his helmet, and the city that hoped that Jay Cutler could be the savior now will put their hopes into Mitchell Trubisky.
Boy, how quickly hello becomes an accelerated goodbye. And the whole mentoring with Mike Glennon thing, I'm going to put the old I'm not interested sign on that one. That was NFL Network, the 2017 draft night. Man, it doesn't seem all that long ago, but I guess here we are. Let's talk some football with Eric Edholm of Yahoo Sports, their lead NFL draft columnist. He is at Eric_Edholm on Twitter. He's on the Alpamonte Ford Hotline. Alpamonte Ford in Melrose Park. Hello, Eric. How are you?
I'm doing all right. What's happening?
Well, what does it say? Did I see this correctly, that fully half of the 2017 first-round draft class is not having that fifth-year option picked up? What does that say about drafting and everything that we do to predict who's going to do what? What does it say about uncertainty? Do you derive any meaning from that?
Yeah, I mean, I obviously look at what I do as a little bit more of an art and not a science, and I don't mean to make myself sound more important in the artistic world than I am, but you're sort of painting in watercolors a little bit here, and you don't exactly know, you know, where the boundaries exist and what factors are going to weigh the heaviest. So, you know, my biggest thing, big picture, is to look at prospects and say, how many questions do they have versus how many, you know, strengths do they have, and try to weigh it that way. And you look back at that class, and, you know, where I missed and where other people missed on some of these guys is not weighing the concerns heavily enough and probably overweighing the potential strengths. And, you know, it really is one of those things where it's a case-by-case basis, and it's really hard to do.
I wonder how much of it, too, is turnover, that when you look at how long 4 years actually is and how many organizations change fundamentally with new coaching staffs and
no doubt.
New scouts, that they just to think that you can marry yourself to somebody with this kind of financial commitment, a lot of it is just like, yeah, you know, you might have liked them, we don't like them.
Yeah, I mean, there's obviously, I think the more steady and consistent franchises in terms of, you know, how many coaches and general managers and the scouting staff turnover and all that, and players on the roster too. I mean, you know, giving up on somebody too early is just an absolute crime. And that's also the worry too, is that, you know, look, Kyle Fuller was a fifth-year guy who had his option year declined and ended up turning it into a positive and playing well. And it wasn't, you know, it didn't feel like just a one-year wonder kind of a thing. It felt like he had developed by that point. It just takes some guys longer, but it also takes some coaches and evaluators longer too, right? I mean, they're thrust into these roles. Some of them are going to be promoted beyond what their capabilities are. Some of them just take a little longer to absorb what matters and what doesn't, and to, you know, sort of put that into their system a little bit. So, yeah, I think the teams obviously that have the less turnover are probably doing so because they win games, but that in turn also creates a better developmental system for them to, you know, to figure out what they have in players who haven't yet reached their potential.
I've always been amazed by the phenomenon of the quarterback increasing his value by not playing, where somebody can fall in love and over again with traits because the guy's not on the field. You know, we heard the name Mike Glennon. That's what happened with Mike Glennon. That yeah. You got this rumor mill going, you know, by the way, and then the guy just sucked out loud. And you couldn't believe that these supposedly smart football men just were so wrong. And it happens all the time of somebody who just becomes the flavor of the month, gains popularity. I've heard stuff about Nate Sudfeld being another one of these guys and say, hey, you know, what they're saying about this guy, that this is going to be somebody, they're going to come grab him. Could that happen to Mitchell Trubisky? Could he be standing there on the sidelines with that little earpiece in, watching Nick Foles run this little timing-based offense and do his RPO stuff, and there's some coach out there that says, you know, maybe if we do a Titans-type offense, maybe if we do some of the stuff that Kirk Cousins does, that Mitchell Trubisky is going to be that guy. I wouldn't put it past this league for somebody to again start convincing themselves that they see something different from him.
It's like you were just listening in on a conversation I had, I don't know, 3-4 days ago, whatever it was. I was talking to somebody in the league who was in the pro scouting, you know, department, not a college scout. And I was just sort of, you know, running through some guys. We were talking a little bit about the fifth-year option. And he said, well, you're there in Chicago and, you know, Trubisky and this and that. And, you know, he admitted, obviously, that this wasn't a player befitting of the number two pick in the draft. But at the same time, he essentially said what you did, only with a different team. He said, I bet he'd be a lot more successful if he was running the Ravens offense, for instance. You know, if they were going to do some of the same things, not all of it, but some of the same principles that Baltimore has, which obviously includes, you know, the run game, multiple bodies in the backfield, you know, some bigger targets at receiver and tight end, multiple tight ends on the field, and then also the QB run game, which is something that, you know, was sort of a big part of what they did at North Carolina his last year, too, and the years that he was the backup. So there's no question in my mind. I mean, pedigree still matters in this league. You look at the, you know, even successful teams are willing to take those shots. Look at the Kansas City Chiefs. You know, they signed Shea Patterson as an undrafted free agent, just thinking maybe there's something there to work with. You know, they go after former first-round picks who have been busts before, sign them on these low-end deals just to kick the tires and see what they can do with them. Now, with Trubisky, it may not be stunning to see kind of a Ryan Tannehill-like development at some point in his career, because I think he's got talent. I don't think he's, you know, clearly there's some mental blocks there that have to be overcome. So you're absolutely right as far as the thinking of NFL teams. They're always looking back at their old scouting reports and saying, hey, we like this guy coming out. Maybe there is still something there. He just needs that fresh start.
What is the NFL doing on Thursday as they announce their schedule? They're making a big deal out of this, the schedule announcement, and they will put it out there and say, virus or no virus, this is what we're doing. What do they know that we don't, and where's the science that's involved in this? Because if you look at, say, what Korea has done to be allowed to restart baseball as they have, the U.S. hasn't done any of that. No, the numbers aren't there. The testing isn't there. The infrastructure isn't there. Yet, boldly forward they go as if it is. So count me as confused.
Yeah, right. I mean, right. We don't know, will they have met the criteria that, you know, that befits opening a pro sports season on time with a full schedule and all that. Part of it, I would think, and this is me speculating, this isn't coming from anybody in the league office, but, you know, I would think they're kind of flying high after the draft being the, I would say, fairly resounding success that it was, right? It was this oasis that everybody needed. It was pulled off miraculously behind the scenes and in front of our, you know, of our TVs and everything. So I think they sort of feel like they can capitalize on a little bit of that buzz and that excitement by doing so. Now, how is it going to look if they have to revise or alter the schedule later or push it back or cut it short or, you know, if the unknown, the unforeseen happens in the next coming months, will they look retroactively poor for doing it? Maybe, maybe not. Does the NFL care? I also don't know. I would suspect not. But, yeah, I mean, I would think that they have a little bit of an idea of here's where we need to be on July 1st for this all to come true, or here's what we need to be on August 1st before we start calling off, you know, the early season games. So I'm fascinated. I want to see, are there divisional games in the first 4 weeks of the season, or is it backloaded? Is it, you know, how is the structure going to be? That's a big question, I think. Of we'll see right away. I bet we'll notice a pattern in the schedule that allows them that leeway to back out if they need to.
Well, especially because they already canceled all of the foreign games, any games off U.S.
Yeah.
soil. That's just right out because of how big a lift that would be to do all that. So that at least betrays some understanding of the size and danger of what's going on. But some of this to me still looks more powered by public relations and wishful thinking than anything else.
Yeah, and right, or ego or whatever. I don't know. Look, I mean, we all may look back on this 3 months from now and say, what was everybody worried about? We also may look back and say, we had plenty to worry about, and here's why. So, you know, venturing boldly into the unknown is thrilling, but also daunting, too. So, you know, it's hard to really know whether this was driven by a few powerful people or if this truly was the consensus of the league's planners to say, we feel pretty darn good about where we're at, and we're going to feel even better by the time, you know, late summer rolls around. And here are the reasons why, the reasons that you and I are just sort of speculating and guessing at this point.
All-time winning coach Don Shula died yesterday
yeah.
at the age of 90. And there's a fascinating note that his career connected him to George Halas on the front.
Mm-hmm.
He began coaching when George Halas was still coaching, and Don Shula finished coaching when Bill Belichick was coaching. So that is
yeah.
that is the thread that connects Halas to Belichick. Don Shula also credited in large part, now we live in a world now where we have Miami as a major sports city. It
yeah.
wasn't. That it was just the Dolphins and it was just those teams. You know, Miami was like a little tourist town that ended up getting its first chance at big time sports. It was Don Shula that put Miami on the sports map. What are your memories of him?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, obviously I wasn't alive at the time when he, you know, I was born in 75, so his coming to Miami predated my birth, but you know, obviously there was this reputation of Miami as kind of a dangerous place to be at one point, too, with all the Miami Vice stuff. And there's that great story, too, about Don Johnson visiting practice one day at, like, the height of popularity for Miami Vice. And Don Shula was so dialed in on his football team, he's introduced to John Johnson, likely wearing the, you know, the sockless shoes and the white, you know, jacket and the whole thing. And he said, "Hey, here's Don Johnson from Miami Vice." And he said, "Oh, I appreciate what you guys are doing out there, working hard, keeping the streets clean." And Don's thinking it's a joke, right? But the first image of the football coach who knew nothing about his surroundings outside of the sport, you know, and so quickly realized, oh, you're an actor. Okay. But I just, to accomplish what he did as a coach, you know, even with the disappointment of not reaching that other Super Bowl after, what was it, 84 season, I guess. But, you know, people don't credit him enough, I don't think, for becoming that coach that was willing to adapt to what he had around him. When Dan Marino came to the league, they were a running team. You know, they got there throwing the ball 9 times a game sometimes, but he knew what he had, and he knew he had something special, and he completely changed his philosophy. To me, that's one of the hallmarks of great coaching, is to understand what you have in your players and putting them best to use, and I think he's a shining example of that.
And what's amazing, too, and you as a draft guy can appreciate this, and I remember it vividly, that Dan Marino was one of the all-time why is he sliding guys.
Yeah.
Guys who, they have the cameras, wherever, like, well, wait a second, no one's taken Dan Marino yet? You know, and then there's rumors of, you know, there's the story about alcohol or marijuana, whatever it was. You don't know because it wasn't reported the same way. They hadn't talked to Marino. Shula had never met with him. He was just there. And they're like, I guess we got to take Dan Marino. That truly was, when you hear about the best player available, that somebody in that organization said, he's not getting past us. And they, like you say, they made it work without even really considering the possibility of it.
Yeah, and I think back then, you know, there may have been that sense of, you know, first-round picks are still, you know, even more dart throws than they are now when scouts are working year-round on these guys. It was obviously more of an inexact science back then, but you're right. I mean, that's a leap of faith. And Marino was coming off a relatively poor season compared to the one he'd had the year before. You know, he had a ton of interceptions, I want to say 17 or 18 that year, and, you know, more picks than touchdowns. But, you know, he'd gone to the Senior Bowl, he played well. Everybody sort of felt like he stacked up with the Elways and Jim Kellys of that group, and for some reason he slid. So, you know, you look back at those decisions and you have to realize just how much guts it takes to make those picks when you know about the talent, but you're not 100% sure of everything else. And sometimes they work out, sometimes they don't. In that case, it was a grand slam.
Eric, thanks for joining us as always. Really appreciate it.
Have a great day, man. Good talking to you.
You too. Eric Edholm of Yahoo Sports. We're going to play America's favorite game show. It is called Who Am I? And this is a different version today. I had so much fun researching this, I can't even tell you. Because MLB.com has, because there's no baseball going on, they've gone down some different rabbit holes here. And one of them that they've been doing is an ongoing series of naming the best player ever in an organization's history at a given position. And we've done a lot of these. So what I like to do was I like to look at this list and then see how many of these players, the very best of a certain position in the history of a franchise, how that player may have connected in one way or another with the Cubs and or the White Sox. And we've got a new record here because I counted 10 all-time great franchise best left fielders. Fully a third of Major League Baseball, a third, have some connection with the Cubs or the Sox. So here is your challenge as we go to break. I want to see how many of these names can come up via text. Three of these guys are Hall of Famers, too, and several other great players. Like, there aren't any pikers on this list. These are all either Hall of the Very Good for a long time or Hall of Fame. Because left fielder, you know, that's a place you can put a bat, and a lot of teams did. So how many franchises, not including the Cubs or the Sox, and think about who it is, by the way, for both the Sox and Cubs. You should be able to get this. Cubs, obviously, is really easy. But think about how many franchises, best left fielders of all time, and I'll just say this straight up, these connections played for all of these 10 names, and one of these names, I'll tell you, played for both the Cubs and the Sox. There are 4 who played for the Sox, there are 5 who played for the Cubs, and there's 1 who played for both. So not including the Cubs and the Sox themselves. How many teams' all-time best left fielders had these connections? We will tell you the answers. We'll run down this list. We're going to have Jay and Ray. They're writing down their list right now. They're going to guess. And then, texters, start firing away. Let's see how smart you are. We'll reveal the answers next on The Score.
This is 670 The Score, Chicago's number one and most listened to sports station, period. Thanks for keeping us on top, Chicago.
This is Damon Amendolara with your Radio.com Sports Minute. With the passing of Don Shula, let's note the success of his first 5 years in Miami. Iconic. He took a 3-win team and in 2 seasons went to the Super Bowl. He lost that game and followed it up with the undefeated season. He followed that up by winning another ring. Now, he doesn't have the championships of Belichick or Lombardi, but until his last days, he was very proud of winning the right way. Dick Anderson, a member of the 72 team on my show this morning.
He was straightforward. He was, this is how we got to do it, and these are the rules, and this is what we're going to follow. And so he didn't like, I think, the people that didn't follow the rules.
Shula's resume, wins and losses, stands on its own. This is Damon Amendolara.
Hi, it's Jamie, Progressive's Employee of the Month, 2 months in a row. Leave a message at the...
Hi, Jamie. It's me, Jamie. I just had a new idea for our song about the Name Your Price tool. So when it's like, tell us what you want to pay, hey, 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 and the trombone goes, blah, 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 and you say, we'll help you find coverage options to fit your budget. Then we just all do finger snaps while a choir goes, savings coming at ya, savings coming at ya. Yes? No? Maybe? Anyway, see you at practice tonight. I got new lyrics for the rap break.
Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's a new day, a new time, and through it all, through the confusion, through the challenges, through all the concern, Blue Cross and Blue Shield of Illinois will continue to be here, bringing you the care, comfort, and calm you've always depended on. In sickness and in health, we are in this together. More importantly, we'll get through this together. We are part of this community. That means your fight is our fight. We have a unified focus, and our commitment to the health, safety, and well-being of our members and all the members of our communities is something we now share more than ever. We understand that with every new day comes new information. So for a trusted resource and a guiding partner, take heart in knowing Blue Cross and Blue Shield is here, standing by you, with you, and for you, through it all.
Blue Cross and Blue Shield of Illinois, a division of Healthcare Service Corporation, a mutual legal reserve company.
Every home has things it needs, things that need to be maintained, fixed, or replaced. The Home Depot is here to help you get it done. You can easily find what you need on our app, order it online with the push of a button, and have it brought to your door with free delivery on over a million items. We have the essentials you need, the online know-how you may need to do it yourself, and low prices that make it all possible. The Home Depot, how doers get more done.
Doctor's log, hell date 2020. It's 7 a.m. I just ended my shift in the emergency room and now I am headed out. I grew up watching Star Trek reruns as a kid, and in the intro to Star Trek, they have this description of their mission, which is to go where no man has gone before. Right now, health and medical industries are on that kind of mission, and it really feels like my colleagues and I are embarking on this new journey as we stand on the front lines of the COVID crisis. We keep saying to each other, we've never done this before. We've never seen anything like this on this scale before. And so I wanted to capture some of this journey. So I'm starting my own captain's log. I'll be documenting my personal experiences and thoughts as this pandemic unfolds around us. I'm Esther Chu, MD, and this is my doctor's log. Go subscribe on radio.com and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi, it's Jamie, Progressive's Employee of the Month, 2 months in a row. Leave a message at the...
Hi, Jamie. It's me, Jamie. I just had a new idea for our song about the Name Your Price tool. So when it's like, tell us what you want to pay, hey, 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 and the trombone goes, blah, 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 and you say, we'll help you find coverage options to fit your budget. Then we just all do finger snaps while a choir goes, savings coming at ya, savings coming at ya. Yes? No? Maybe? Anyway, see you at practice tonight. I got new lyrics for the rap break.
Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Life has changed almost overnight.
Yeah, you have a lot of questions. We are going to try to get you some answers. I'm Mike Simpson.
And I'm Charles Feldman. Together, we host Coronavirus Daily, a podcast designed to help us all get through this crisis together.
We go around the world and talk to some of the top experts out there. So think of this as a guide for you and your family. Multiple ways to listen, radio.com, the radio.com app, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, and Stitcher.
Remember, that's Coronavirus Daily.
To take this station with you wherever you go, download the radio.com app today and listen to this station and over 300 other stations. With the radio.com app, you can favorite your top stations for easy access and receive alerts with breaking news, contest opportunities, and more. To favorite a station, just click on the heart icon in the upper left-hand corner of your favorite station's logo. Go to your app store or radio.com/download and start listening today. Radio.com.
The Score thanks all the essential workers, medical professionals, and first responders during these unprecedented times.
It's David Haw. Thank you.
Pat Hughes here. I just want to say thank you.
Chuck Swirsky here. A big thank you.
Lawrence Holmes here. Thanks to all of you.
Ron Coomer here. Thanks.
Dan Bernstein here. Thanks for all you do.
We appreciate all you do. Thank you from all of us at 670 The Score.
This is Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, Chicago Sports Station.
Dan Bernstein asks, who am I?
Harris kind, I don't know. Brown.
Oh, he's tall.
Yeah, he's kind of tall, sort of tall. And he's like always wearing
T-shirts.
Yeah.
Who am I?
So he's sort of tall.
Kind of.
With hair.
Yeah.
And he wears T-shirts sometimes.
Yes.
On 670 The Score.
So I asked you the question, how many of the MLB franchise's all-time best left fielders in their respective histories also played for either the Cubs or the Sox? MLB.com has been putting these lists together, and they had the MLB beat reporters, MLB.com beat reporters, put lists together, and then they published this here with highlights and numbers, and I always say that I do my best to make sure that I'm not missing anybody, and I go to Baseball Reference and Fangraphs, and I try to look everything up, and it was Shane Reardon, actually, who came up with one, what was it, on Friday, when I did not know that Khalil Greene, we were doing the shortstops, he's a longtime Khalil Greene stan, and I didn't know that Khalil Greene was a first-round draft pick of the Chicago Cubs, so, you know, sometimes there are, and just like we didn't know that I didn't know Jimmy Fox had played for the Cubs, and we were doing that that list as well. So, MLB left fielders, and texters did a really good job at 67011. First, I always give you, who do you think the Cubs and Sox respective best left fielders are? This one shouldn't be all that difficult.
Billy Williams for
Billy
the Cubs.
Billy Williams, correct.
And Minnie Minoso for the Sox.
Yes, that's that very, very well done, nicely done. Now, as we start, can you name the player on this list who was both a Cub and a White Sox?
I don't think so.
I will tell you, he was on the Cubs in 91. He was on the Sox in 92 and 93, and he might be best known because of the player for whom he was traded.
I don't know.
He's the all-time best left fielder in the history of the Toronto Blue Jays. And George Bell.
Traded
for Sammy Sosa.
It's kind of a bad history. I mean, he was good, but I mean, you wouldn't think best in franchise history, George Bell. Maybe I'm underrating George Bell. I was pretty young.
Yeah, he was good. That George Bell was the first Blue Jay to win the AL MVP award, which he won in 1987. He is seventh in games played, fifth in hits, sixth in home runs, fourth in RBIs, and he is one of just seven players to have their name unveiled on the Blue Jays' level of excellence at Rogers Center. That is the most Canadian name for, like, instead of ring of honor or the level of excellence.
Quadrant of skill.
Yeah, that is so awesome. Okay.
All right, well, you mentioned a Bell. Can I take a guess? Albert Bell's got to be on there. Played for the Sox, but he's got to be Indians left fielder, right?
Yep. He's the only player in MLB history to hit 50 homers and 50 doubles in a single. 27.4 BWAR, most among all Indians left fielders, 23rd highest in franchise history. AL MVP runner-up. And he had some monster seasons for the Chicago White Sox, including a 1998 in which he batted .328, was on base .399, and slugged .655.
Is that good? Is he on the level of pretty goodness?
Is he in the tier of superiority? Okay, now there are three Hall of Famers that have yet to be named. So far, three actual Hall of Famers, two who played for the Cubs and one who played for the White Sox for 5 years.
Lube Rock.
Indeed. That is a subgenre of music to which I prefer not to listen. There's soft rock, punk rock, and lube rock. Yes, lube rock, 61-64. Famously a Chicago Cub, also known for being traded, and one of the most overrated players of all time. I have kicked him out of the Hall of Fame. The thing he was most famous for doing isn't really that important. But yes, lube rock is indeed unquestionably a Hall of Famer. There's a recent Hall of Famer, and there's a guy I never knew who played for the Cubs, who's is associated with one team for a long, long time. But there is another name here of a player who was part of our discussion of a very specific White Sox team when we were talking with guys like Steve Lyons and Ron Kittle, because we decided to give them a little burn just because we wanted to. We also have a relatively recent Cub who is the best player of a relatively young franchise. But I'll give you the other Hall of Famers first. I did not know that Ralph Kiner was a Cub in 1953 and 1954. That absolutely shocked me while I was trying to do some of the due diligence here. But Ralph Kiner of the Pirates, who was the only player to ever have had at least a share of the league lead in home runs in seven consecutive years, was indeed the best left fielder in the history of the Pittsburgh Pirates. Your other Hall of Famer, if I told you this is the best left fielder in the history of the Montreal Expos / Washington Nationals, does that help you?
Tim Raines.
Yes, Tim Raines, a White Sox from 91 to 95. Not at the peak of his powers, but still a solidly contributive player. The best left fielder in Mets history is Cleon Jones. And I thought, okay. He caught the final out of the 1969 World Series, one of the important 1969 Miracle Mets. And I learned that Cleon Jones played 12 games for the Chicago White Sox in 1976. They were very unremarkable games. The 1986 White Sox had George Foster for 15 games. George Foster is the best left fielder in the history of the Cincinnati Reds. Who do you think is the best left fielder in the history of the Florida / Miami Marlins?
Cliff Floyd.
Yes! All-star in 2001, 31 home runs. Cliff Floyd became a regular in 1998, and he indeed is considered the best left fielder in the history of the Marlins, Cliff Floyd of the 2007 Cubs, and he's been a frequent guest on the station and on this show. There is another cup of coffee here that belongs to the best left fielder in Atlanta Braves history. He was a Cub for 22 games, and he was a dramatically underrated player who, in his day, was one of the best hitters around, one of the best outfielders of his era. And that would be Rico Carty. Rico Carty was a Cub in 1973 for 22 games. So we're down to one player who was the best left fielder in a franchise's history. And I'll tell you, he played for the Cubs in 1995 and 1996. Does that help you at all?
Not really. 95,
okay, 96. He had 30 wins of WAR for this team, second most among position players in franchise history. So he is the second most valuable position player in the history of his team, and he was a really unremarkable Cub.
I got it. Luis Gonzalez. Yeah.
Luis Gonzalez. You got it. What was it, the Rick Wilkins trade, I want to say? But yes, Luis Gonzalez, who certainly has, I mean, his statistical comps are a really compelling list, who's certainly on the long list of Hall of the Very Good for a long, long time. Luis, while a very well-liked player, is also one whose body kind of changed on us, didn't it?
Just a little.
Yeah, he got very, very, very strong. And some people are saying no Moises Alou on the list. A lot of some other people said Carlos Lee. Nope, the names did not make it. I think Moises Alou probably just missed being the best left fielder in his franchise's history, as was awarded then instead to Cliff Floyd. And the 219 texter wants to know if when Mark Burley pitched for the Blue Jays, did he at least make it to the mezzanine of mediocrity?
That's so good. What was the actual one you said? The level? What was it? What was the actual Blue Jays thing? What is it called?
The actual one for George Bell, that George Bell has been honored at the level of excellence at the Rogers Center. Welcome to the level of excellence. There's just something so sad about that.
Is it like a physical level? Like it's the fifth floor, and you can only come on the fifth floor if you've achieved the level of excellence?
No.
Or is it like a figurative level?
No, it's literally like they unveil your name on a level of the stadium. But instead of being a ring of honor, like the Dallas Cowboys or the various collegiate teams that have a ring around their stadium, this is just a level. But it would be great if you had to rise to the level over time. Like, there is the mezzanine of mediocrity, and then you have, like, the rung of pretty good. They keep moving your name up. I don't know why I find that so funny, but it's just so Canadian.
It does level sound of excellence, pretty bad.
Eh? Oh, that's wonderful. All right, well, nice work for the most part. I think Texters did an outstanding job, but this is one of those things where, as I'm researching this, I was this many years old when I learned that Ralph Kiner actually spent two seasons with the Chicago Cubs. Probably should have known that and didn't. We are going to have our 1140 segment be a little bit of a throwback today because my former longtime producer, Matt Abatacola, former SCORE mainstay, is going to be joining us because he was a big part of the Terry Bohr's final solo show that is going to be rebroadcast on the station tonight starting at 7 p.m. So we're going to do a wellness check on Matty Abatacola. I'm Dan Bernstein. Keep it here. You have the SCORE.
Listen to Lawrence Holmes weekdays noon to 2 on the SCORE.
I was impressed with the depth of discussion when it comes to Michael Jordan's gambling. If a family friend was talking to you about their gambling in the way that Jordan was talking about gambling, wouldn't you be like, oh, that guy has a problem?
Lawrence Holmes noon to 2 on Sports Radio 670 The SCORE and 670thescore.com on radio.com sports station.
This segment is brought to you by True Green. look at the interest rate that you are paying right now on your credit card debt and understand that you are paying way more than you need to, because you can refinance your debt today with a credit card consolidation loan from LightStream. You can quickly roll balances from multiple credit cards into one single monthly loan payment. And you can get a rate as low as 5.95% APR with AutoPay. Think about how much lower that is, because the national average credit card rate is over 19% APR. So considering the size of that chunk of money, there's a lot of savings in there. And the longer you wait to do this, the more money you're just throwing away. There's absolutely no fees. The application is 100% online, quick and easy. You can get your money as soon as the day you apply. And LightStream believes that people with good credit deserve a better loan experience, and that's what they deliver. Here's what one very satisfied LightStream customer said. She said, "I was concerned about mounting credit card debt, and I didn't think there was any way out of it until I heard an advertisement on the radio for LightStream, and I wasn't sure if it would work, but I went online, and I filled out the forms, and I had my money within 48 hours, and now I am out from under all that debt." You can feel similarly if you apply today, because you can get a special interest rate discount just because you're listening. That'll help you save even more. The only way to get this discount is by going to lightstream.com/DanB. LightStream.com/DanB.
Subject to credit approval, rate includes a 0.5% autopay discount. Terms and conditions apply and offers are subject to change without notice. Visit lightstream.com/DanB for more information.
Let's say you just bought a house. Bad news is, you're one step closer to becoming your parents. You'll proudly mow the lawn. Ask if anybody noticed you mowed the lawn. Tell people to stay off the lawn. Compare it to your neighbor's lawn. And complain about having to mow the lawn again. Good news is, it's easy to bundle home and auto through Progressive and save on your car insurance, which, of course, will go right into the lawn. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company, affiliates, and other insurers. Discount not available in all states or situations.
Thanks for streaming The Score. Chicago Sports Radio 670.
Mullion Hall. Mornings 5 to 9 a.m.
The president and chief operating officer of the Chicago Bulls, Michael Reinsdorf.
I just felt if we made a move now to make the change, that would give the new head of basketball operations an opportunity to really get to know his staff. If you waited until, you know, a typical time, which is April, you know, right after the season, then you got to go through a process of interviewing people. And then if you do it quickly, let's say it takes a couple weeks, then you're looking into May. Then they got that person that has to hit the ground, you know, running. They got to do all their hiring. They got to hire the general manager, the assistant, you know, the additional assistant general manager. I just felt this gave us a great opportunity, gave this person a great opportunity to take his time and really get to know everyone.
Mullion Hall, mornings 5 to 9 a.m. on Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com. Chicago Sports Station.
Life has changed, and the news is changing with it. Chicago's most trusted source when it comes to news coverage, WBBM News Radio. For coronavirus updates throughout the day, to learn ways your neighbors are helping, for the latest on healthcare and what's happening in your community, turn to WBBM. Stay safe, stay connected, stay informed. There's only one all-news station in Chicago, News Radio 780 and 105.9 FM. Or ask your smart speaker to play WBBM News Radio.
Bears head coach Matt Nagy.
Thank you to our amazing first responders and EMS, our state, city, and county police, as well as our brave firemen and women for being so selfless and saving so many lives during this extremely challenging time. Waking up every day and doing everything in your power to help control this COVID-19 is nothing short of heroic. From all of us here in the Chicago Bears organization, we thank you for your courage. Together, as one, we will prevail. I look forward to it. Bear down.
The Score is helping Chicago stay connected. For more, go to radio.com/stayconnected.
The backyard is back. A place to get a breath of fresh air and get together with the family. The Home Depot is here to help you create the backyard you've always wanted. With premium, low-maintenance composite decking and fencing from brands like Trex, Fiberon, TimberTech, and Veranda. And hundreds of other options to bring your backyard back to life this year. Order online and we're on it. The Home Depot. How doers get more done. U.S. only. Restrictions apply.
It all starts with just one thing. Clothing companies are finding innovative ways to recycle, from making sunglasses out of plant-based resins to shoes made from coffee grounds. Be on the lookout for these innovative clothing products. Find tips and more at onethingus.com. What's your one thing?
This is Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com. Chicago Sports Station.
Matt Abaticola. I love that.
Dan Bursey with you, Sports Radio 670 WSCR, The Score. We've got something special going on tonight at 7 o'clock. Terry Bors' final solo show is going to be on, and there's just a terrific picture that was just sent out on Twitter. It's Maddie and Terry, Tanny, me. A lot of memories come flooding back, and it'll be a fun listen tonight. Matt Abaticola can be followed on Twitter by going to Matt Abaticola, at Matt Abaticola. And he's right here now on the Alpamonte Ford hotline, Alpamonte Ford in Melrose Park. Maddie! What's going on, man?
Hey, you? Buddy.
Hey.
How you doing?
Okay. How are the boys?
Boys are great. Thanks for the Twitter plug again. I really appreciate that. Really helped me out.
Well, of course, man. Of course. The are you having any issues keeping them informed and entertained? Because so many parents that I have, like, I'm lucky enough to have kids who don't really want me around all that much and don't need me to do much. But it's got to just be exhausting not having a break to keep everybody, you know, just engaged.
No, it's going really well, actually. Jack just turned 6 on Saturday, so 6 and 7 years old. They're old enough to do things on their own and to not want me around all the time. So it's been, actually Fortnite has become a thing. I know you're very familiar with that.
Yes.
Fortnite has become very popular here in my home. So they're getting battle ready and geared up, and they're on Fortnite campaigns quite a bit. We do a lot of most of their schoolwork is done in the morning, so it's all done before 11 or before noon. And then we go on to lunch, and then we do things in the afternoon. Get outside if it's nice, or play some games, puzzles, Fortnite, so different things. So it's actually been great. I know for a lot of parents and families it's been really difficult. I'm, you know, appreciating all the extra time that we're getting together, so it's been really, really good. I'm fortunate enough to work for a great company that is getting through the COVID-19 pandemic rather well and treating their employees very well. So it's been really good to learn how to work from home and work remotely.
I've been banned from Fortnite spectating, or at least suspended. He gets so mad at me because he gets so into it, and I always make fun of him because when he gets, you know, headshotted or sniped by somebody, he's always got an excuse for it. It's never that guy's better than I am, or that guy did something I didn't expect. It's always like, it was glitching. I was shooting, and it wasn't, the bloom was wrong where I was shooting. Or it's like, that guy was bush camping. Or it's always something, you know, it's and I'm like, dude, can't you take an L? It's like just a lose.
It's great to listen to. So Hank will call, he'll FaceTime three of his buddies, and they're on a group call together. So there's four of them to call. And then one of the little brothers is on as well. And then Jack gets on as well. So you got six kids playing like a campaign together. And just hearing the conversation from in the room is just, it's delightful. You know, the silly stuff they say, bro, I got your back, or dude, I got you covered. I mean, it's like, all right, guys, let's gear up. Let's get going. It's just crazy. So it's funny to hear. You know, there's the occasional adult words that sneak through, and I'm always like, hey, hello, what's going on in there? So this is not appropriate. And they're like, oh, we heard it on TikTok. Oh, cool. Yep, that's another thing to look into. So no, but it's pretty cool. But things have been going great. You know, we get these nice days that come through, and we were outside all weekend this past weekend. And I know it's not conducive for the most optimal learning, but, you know, we're getting through it, and the boys are great and healthy, and everything's good here.
Are they cooking with you? Because I know you make an effort to expand their palate beyond typical kid foods. Like, do they help you out if you want to make a bolognese or something?
Jack will occasionally help. Henry is definitely my little sous chef. He'll cook when he gets older. He really enjoys it. One of the most extensive things we did together was our past Thanksgiving meal. And we did a whole bunch of different things. And we started off with some turkey meatballs and made like a nice cream sauce for him and put him over homemade mashed potatoes. And he helped me the entire process up to even rolling the meatballs out. So he did a really good job. He likes it quite a bit. And at 7 now, he's actually eating more, which is nice. His menu has expanded from 6 items to he'll try anything that dad is eating, so that's always been helpful. He's down with the cashew chicken now, which is cool. so we can order Chinese together. He eats pot roast. We did a homemade pot roast last week. So Jack is still eating pizza, chicken nuggets, and breakfast for dinner. And there's one other thing. He eats taco meat now. He won't eat tacos, but he'll eat taco meat.
Of course, because that just makes sense. Yeah, right.
Right. You put taco meat into a shell, and it's like you're handing him, you know, poison. But give him a bowl of taco meat, and he's down. So it's good. Yeah, but it's been nice though to have an actual a child who actually eats like regular adult food with me. So it's fun.
Well, now that we have the confluence of Taco Tuesday and Cinco de Mayo, I mean, it's got to be something special, some big pile of taco meat for him tonight.
Definitely going to do some tacos for myself later. I'm sure Hank will get in on some tacos. I'm doing a Mexican pizza. I'll see if Jack will get down with that. I'm going to trick him with a little pizza. We got our Corona hard seltzers and margaritas ready for later on, too.
Sounds awesome. The Terry Bores final solo show is going to air tonight. And that it really was a thing. It's just amazing how long ago it was. I know Terry has been tweeting about it and some of the memories that are there. What are your memories of that day, that whole production?
Well, you know, it was something I didn't really get to enjoy until after the fact, just because of how busy it was. I listened to a little bit of it yesterday, and I listened to Terry's final remarks. Some of the time that Terry and I talked together as well. And then just the thank you at the end to all the guests. I really forgotten how many guests I crammed into that show. There were so many people that were part of it on that day. So the actual enjoyment of it for me didn't really come until afterwards. And driving in the car yesterday, I heard off of YouTube, I pulled it up on my phone and, you know, had it plugged into the car. I was driving around a little bit, and I heard the 20 minutes that Terry and I spent together. And I, you know, it started bringing back a lot of memories of the day itself. But got, you know, pretty choked up listening to it, just hearing the things that Terry had to say, and then in particular his final comments. It's hard not to get teary eyed or even break out into tears listening to that. So I expect that tonight will be a great memory to go through and listen to all the different guests that were through. One of my greatest memories just looking back on it, was just planning the whole thing and reaching out and coordinating all the guests. Some people, you know, deserved more time, but we just didn't have a whole lot of time to give to everyone that they really truly did deserve for the impact they had on Terry's time at the Score and the impact that he had on their lives. So that was just hard to coordinate. But going out and booking all the guests was a lot of fun. Trying to track down some of the older guys, trying to convince them that it's a good idea to come on, reaching out to Murph and trying to get Murph to come on the show. Maybe chuckle yesterday just thinking about that. And then it just, you know, brought back a whole flood of memories of our time together. I mean, me, Jay, and, you know, you and Terry, and then me and Tanny and you and Terry. It was just some of the best years of my life that I'll ever have professionally. So it's just a lot of great memories. Some of the silly stuff that never even made the air, things that happened on our trips, not all the stuff, you know, were we able to tell. You know, not that anything was bad, but we just didn't tell everything. You know, so many late night dinner stories and getting out and getting drunk together. I remember, I think we were in Arizona when we filled up my bathroom sink with ice cubes, and Terry brought in a bunch of Coors Light, and we just sat and then we pre-gamed in the room, you know, drinking beer out of a homemade cooler using the sink and ice cubes. So it was a lot of great memories to it. But I think the thing I'll walk away with remembering the most is how much it impacted Terry. And how special of a day it was for him, and knowing that I was able to put that together for him and make that happen is just the highlight of my time at the Score.
You were talking about Mexican food. I still try to explain to people.
Well, you know how much I love you, Dan. It's like I pour out my heart to you right here, and I'm talking, you know, all my emotions and feelings there. You know, speaking of Mexican food, Matt.
Just listen, because
out of all of that, you pulled out the fact that I mentioned Mexican pizza like 2 hours ago.
No, it's because you were talking about the night, the stuff that we did on the road and the odd late nights. When we were at that place in Houston, it was open.
When we covered the table in food.
It was like a 24-hour place called Rucci's Mexican Grill.
And yep, absolutely.
We did not stop ordering. It was like in the movie Diner when the guy's like, I think that's the entire left side of the menu. We just started pointing to things, and that was unbelievable. And I think we ate most of it. I don't know if we gave some of it away by the end, but we literally covered a table in food.
Yeah, you couldn't see an inch of the table because there were so many plates stacked on top of each other. I'm pretty sure we ordered the most of the menu, and we did eat most everything that we ordered. That was the night, I think that was the extra inning game, when you consumed, I want to say, 19 beers.
Yep, I think it was. I think it was 19. There's a Jeff Blum game, right?
Not exaggerating. I mean, the actual number was 19, which also led to one of my favorite moments in Score history, which has never been put on the air and never will be put on the air.
Nope. No, it will not.
I will just say, you didn't do anything bad that would, like, you know, get you in trouble. I don't want people to think that, oh, Matt Cole inverts you. No, not that at all. It's Dan's mouth. And that was it. It'll remain at that for the rest of our lives. So just an absolutely unbelievable. I'm like, excuse me, Fred, I'll be right back.
Yeah. However, it's true. I stand by it.
Yeah, and you should stand by it.
Yep, I'm not wrong.
It's no, absolutely, not at all.
It's not something you're supposed to say, but, you know, I'm just telling the truths that nobody else would tell.
Dude, that was at least 7 or 8 hours worth of drinking for the two of us that day.
Yep.
So, I mean, you're talking, I mean, outside of all the other shots you had to, your tequila shots, and, I mean, all the Captain and Cokes I drank, like, you instantly sobered me up. I mean, it was an instant sober.
you even through all of that, you're like, oh, wait a sec, we got to get this guy away from this.
Like, hey, Fred, I'll be right back. Hey, Dan? Time to go. Let's go eat, huh, buddy? What do you think?
You getting hungry? That was awesome. All right, well, I'm happy to hear that you're well, and give both boys a nice big hug for me, and continued good health, and really look forward to hearing that show again tonight. I know how much work you put into putting that thing together.
Yeah, thanks, Dan. Thanks for having me on. I really do appreciate it. I mean, the pinnacle of my life now is being on the Dan Bernstein Show, so it's been a dream in the making of mine for years, and now it's finally come true. I was so nervous all morning, like, looking. I'm like, oh, my God, I'm on the Dan Bernstein Show. Hey, you know what's great, though? I love hearing that you guys. I love that you guys. So when I started working for ADP, and that's ADP, like Alpha David Paul, advertising with you guys. So, like, hearing ADP on the Score is just, it's fantastic to hear. So it's really nice of you to do that for me. Thank you.
Be well, Maddie. I love you.
I love you, too, Dan. Bye.
Matt Abaticola. That was really fun. That was awesome. We have several thank yous to roll out to our list of guests. Thanks to Maddie. Thank you to Daniel Kim of DK TV in Korea for letting us know about all the pro baseball. Missy Isaacson joined us. Matt Fortuna joined us. Eric Edholm did as well. Got another jam-packed show coming your way tomorrow. And I'll remind you, keep doing what we're doing. Keep washing your hands, stay away from people, wear your mask, and wear your mask over your nose, too. Otherwise, it defeats the purpose of wearing a mask as you breathe through your nose. So wear the mask correctly, and don't leave the house if you don't have to. Stay away from people, disinfect surfaces, listen to doctors, and only listen to people who listen to doctors. Thanks to Jay Zawoski. Thanks to Ray Diaz. Happy Cinco de Mayo and Taco Tuesday. Have some beer, have some tequila, have some tacos, have some lime, and enjoy, because you deserve it. We'll be back tomorrow. Lawrence Holmes is next. You got the Score.
Hello, fitness friend.
Tonight at 7, the Score will replay Terry Bohr's final show before retirement. Recorded live January 5th, 2017 from the Blue Cross Blue Shield Performance Stage at the Score Studios.
Just tired of you, dumbass.
Starring a jam-packed lineup of Score hosts from the past and present.
I've closed out the number of these shows with Dan saying that everybody have a great night and we'll talk to you tomorrow. Well, I won't be talking to you tomorrow. I won't be talking to you again.
Don't miss Terry Bohr's final show, re-airing tonight at 7, right here on Sports Radio 670 The Score, Chicago's sports station.
I'm mad at all of you!
If you're looking to purchase a new home or refinance your existing home, then you need to call Team Hochberg, your trusted local mortgage professionals. Today, meet Sue and Tom, happily married, about to close their first home when COVID-19 hit in mid-March. And Sue and Tom called David because they were concerned about purchasing a home with so much uncertainty surrounding the economy. Well, David answered their questions. He assured them Team Hochberg would cancel their loan if they didn't feel comfortable purchasing at this time, and recommended they talk it over and call him back in the morning. So Sue and Tom called the next morning to thank David for honestly answering their questions and not pressuring them into purchasing the home. If you're purchasing a home and you want to work with a lender who will always look out for your financial best interest, especially during these challenging economic times of cost, just like Team Hochberg helped Sue and Tom, call 855-56-DAVID or visit 56david.com. Team Hochberg has helped thousands of SCORE listeners, but they can't help if you don't call. 855-56-DAVID or visit 56david.com. Homeside Financial, Equal Housing Lender, NMLS 1124061.
Let's say you just bought a house. Bad news is, you're one step closer to becoming your parents. You'll proudly mow the lawn. Ask if anybody noticed you mowed the lawn. Tell people to stay off the lawn.